I don't know if y'all happened to notice a young boy that was walking down the aisle and he was collecting money. I don't know if you noticed where he stopped or not. But would you two gentlemen please raise your hand? Right here on the second row. Miss Valentine, y'all, right there. That's where he stopped. He knew exactly where to stop, didn't he? And they pulled out one bill and he didn't leave. They wrote another one. I haven't seen that from that perspective, but I enjoyed seeing that. I wish somebody could share with me whether this water is left over from last week or whether this is new water. Does anybody know?
2 weeks ago.
Well, I won't drink the water then. I was thinking that maybe I'd get me a swallow, but... I'm just kidding. I tell you, Mary gave me one bit of advice, and first of all, I appreciate you being here. I thought, you know, I'm trying to do a little motivational talk, and I move away from this, and you can't hear me, but a little motivational talk, and then we decided that with it raining and with the minister not here, that anybody's here doesn't really need motivated, because you're already motivated. So we appreciate very much your being here. But Mary did say one thing. She said, you know, basically be short, sweet, and to the point. Short, sweet, and to the point. You know, Mary, as most wives, sort of have a way of putting me in my place. We were at a function several weeks ago now in Greenville, and there were a lot of high school and college football coaches there. And it was a big crowd, a lot of people, and we certainly enjoyed being there. And so I sort of whispered to Mary, I said, gee, Mary, there are a lot of great coaches in this room. And she whispered back, she said, yes, Shell, and there's one less than you think. Now, come on now, we got to get a little bit better. We got to get into it. If we're that dry, it's going to be a long time. Because Terry said I had to keep you here to 12 o'clock, so, you know, we got to keep going. Let us pray. God, for being with us today and for this service, we thank you. Help your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we were in this meeting in Greenville a few weeks ago, a lot of discussion came up, and people were talking, and they were talking about, you know, and again, it's mostly football coaches. We're not going to talk about football this morning, but it was mostly football coaches, and talking about what was needed to be successful. What was needed to be successful, and some of the things that mentioned, of course, were you have to have good players, you got to have good leadership, you got to have community support, you got to have parental support. A lot of those are givens, and they're true in every community. But then there was one other word that kept coming up. One other word that kept coming up throughout the discussion. And you know it's the same word. It was referring to football teams, but it's the same word that we at Main Street United Methodist Church need to do God's work. It's the same word that we need to meet the needs of our members. It's the same word that we need to make a difference in our community. It's the same word that we need to spread the good news, help each other grow in the faith, and be a viable Christ-first church or Christ-centered church. Any team, any business, any individual, any school, commitment, to go from being ordinary to being extraordinary takes commitment. And we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. A lot of people want to be involved. A lot of people want to be on the team. A lot of people want to work for a big company. A lot of people want to be a straight-A student. A lot of people want to sit in the pew. A lot of people want to have their name on the roll. But to be effective, to make a difference, to serve our risen Savior, the involvement must change to commitment. It's easy to be involved, a little bit more difficult to be committed. 1997 was our first year in Greenwood. We were excited about being here. It was a great opportunity. We were 2-9. 2-9. Mary said, "Why did you bring me here?" 2-9. I don't know if you remember the superintendent's son sitting right there that first year. The preacher said, "What do we need to pray for?" And Jacob Kinlaw said, "Pray for Coach Dula." I looked at John Kinlaw. I said, "Does he know something I don't know?" But anyway, we lost to Westside that year 49-6. It was a tough year. 1998 was better. 1998 was better. We were 6-2. We were going to Westside, who had beaten us 49-6. We were going to Westside, and we were going to play for the region championship. That was a team we had to beat then to win the region championship. So we're getting ready every Friday. At the end of school, we would have a meeting in the cafeteria. We would have a devotion, and then we would have a pregame meal. At that time, probably the best football player we had was a young man named Ricky Grant. Ricky was a linebacker. He was a sophomore back in 1998. He was a good player, a very good player. Ricky was late to the devotion. He walked in about 30 seconds late. I got up very nicely, walked to the back of the room, asked Lee Sawyer, our defensive coordinator, and Gene Cathcart, who's now the head coach at Greenwood. He was an offensive coordinator. I said, "Join me, Ricky, come outside." I said, "Ricky, you're not going to play tonight. You don't know how to be on time. You're going to learn to be on time. You're not going to play." Again, they beat us 49-6. We're going over there. We're playing for the region championship. And we're telling our best football player, "You're not going to play." Well, Ricky didn't believe me. He didn't believe. He said, "Ah, he's kidding." So we go over there and we warm up and the game starts. And Ricky is standing right up there on the sidelines. He's got all four of those chin straps buckled. He's ready to go. He says, "I know I'm going in. I know I'm going in." Second quarter, he unbuttons two of them. Third quarter, he's got them all four unbuckled. Fourth quarter, Ricky's got his helmet off and he's socialized, so to speak, you know, because he knows he's not going to play. He knows he's not going to play. Commitment, I think, was earned a little bit that night. The involvement of being a part of Greenwood High football went to a commitment. Takes a little bit more. Anybody can be involved, but to be committed. I sing because I'm happy. I can't believe you didn't ask me to sing a duet. I sing because. That is a beautiful song. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I was going to say that earlier, and I just now remembered it, so I'm a little bit out of whack, but that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. But a commitment. Commitment. There was a kamikaze pilot in Japan. We're familiar with the kamikazes in Japan. A kamikaze pilot in Japan. He was interviewed after his 50th kamikaze flight. All right, now let's get with it. He was interviewed. He flew 50 kamikaze missions. Now, you know, a kamikaze is supposed to dive into a ship or whatever. But he flew 50. So a reporter asked him afterwards. He said, "How can someone be a kamikaze pilot and still be alive after 50 missions? His response, well, it's like this. I was very involved, but I wasn't very committed. Very involved, not committed. A true kamikaze only flew one mission. He was a half-hearted kamikaze. To be a meaningful person, to be a meaningful church, to be a successful team, the involvement has got to change to commitment. There was a farmer. We have some farmers in here. There was a farmer who, he and his wife were talking. And the farmer says, "You know, dear, we need to invite all the neighbors and we need to have breakfast for them one morning. One Saturday morning, we need to have breakfast." And the wife said, "You know, that's a great idea. That's a great idea." Well, the chicken and the pig sort of overheard what was being said. Some of you done heard this joke, I guess. The chicken and the pig overheard him. And that chicken says, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You mean I gotta lay enough eggs to feed everybody?" That pig said, "Yeah, that's going to be real tough. That's a real involvement from you. For me, he wants ham. It's going to be a total commitment." It's going to be a total commitment. A lot of people want to be involved. Not everybody wants to be committed. Nearly every great leader in history accomplished something special because they were committed to the cause. They were committed. Joan of Arc, age 17, led 3,000 men into battle. She knew her role. She knew her life mission. She once said to a general, "I will lead the way over the wall." The general said, "Joan, fine, but not a man is going to follow you." She said, "That's okay. I'm not going to be looking back. I'm not going to be looking back to see if they're coming." Commitment. Moving forward. Making a difference. Serving. Doing God's work. Joan of Arc, 19 years old, when she was burned alive at the stake. She could have spared her life. All she had to do was change her allegiance, but she wouldn't do it. One life is all we have, and we live it, and then it's gone. But to give up what we are, to live without belief, is more terrible than dying. She wouldn't sway. She was committed to the cause. She was committed to making a difference. You see, people, churches, we're either thermometers or thermostats. Now, I need to give you about 5 minutes to think about that, but I'm not. We're either thermometers or thermostats. We either reflect the climate around us or we set the climate. We either reflect it or we set it. Committed, dedicated Christians, committed, dedicated churches develop values and principles to live by. They set the pace for others. Thermometers tell the temperature. Thermostats set the temperature. Main Street United Methodist Church, a thermostat. Set the pace. Move forward. Make a difference. Most people and a lot of churches are thermometers. They reflect the culture around them. They say what other people say. They do what other people do. Most don't set the climate. They just mirror the climate. Committed, dedicated Christians, committed, dedicated churches take life to the next level. Opportunity is here. Somebody said it from Main Street Methodist Church, what a great opportunity. An opportunity to make a difference. An opportunity to go to the next level. An opportunity to continue what's going on and build on it. And build on it. And build on it. When we came to Greenwood again, we tried to build on what Coach Babb had done. Coach before us took the G off the helmet, all that kind of stuff. We want to build on it. So many positive things have and are still taking place at Main Street United Methodist Church. We just build on it. We aren't satisfied. We talked in Sunday school today, you never stay the same. Individually, we never stay the same. We either grow in the faith or we go down in the faith. Same thing with the church. We either grow or we rescind. We need to grow. We need to build on what's here and make more and more of a difference. Take our ministry to a next level. Become excited about opportunities to make a difference. Nelson Mandela, former leader of South Africa. Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A. Mother Teresa. All these folks are respected not because they're flashy, not because they're flashy speakers, not because they dress flashy, but because they're leaders who live by certain values, and they won't drift from those values. We were in the mall in Columbia yesterday. We went to Chick-fil-A to get 4 chicken strips. Took us about 20 minutes. Can you imagine how much money Chick-fil-A can make on a Sunday? Can you imagine? But they won't do it. Truett Cathy says, no, we're not opening on Sunday. Won't drift from it. Dedicated, committed Christians. Dedicated, committed Main Street Methodist Church. Move forward. Build on what we have and take it to the next level. When that involvement becomes commitment, it can be done. It can be done. One of my favorite movies, We Are Marshall. We Are Marshall. We Are Marshall. We all know the story about the tragic plane crash and the rebuilding of that program. We are Main Street. Be proud of it. We're Main Street. Make a difference. We're Main Street. Don't be satisfied where we are. Move forward. Just like Joan of Arc, move forward. I don't know if you realize or not, the Medal of Honor Museum is in Charleston, South Carolina. The museum honoring the Medal of Honor winners. And did you realize that there are more Medal of Honor winners from Pickens County, South Carolina, than any other one place in America? More Medal of Honor winners from Pickens County. Medal of Honor winners, if you listen to them, are ordinary young men, young women, who on a certain day did something very extraordinary. An ordinary young man or young woman who on a certain day did something very extraordinary. On 60 Minutes 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was this special about this young man who 4 or 5 times went from safety into harm's way and back trying to save his fellow soldiers. Over and over and over he did this. He said, I'm ordinary. I was just trying to save my friends. I was just trying to make a difference. Man, we started off a few minutes ago saying when involvement becomes commitment, ordinary can go to the extraordinary. When involvement becomes commitment, the ordinary can go to the extraordinary. Audie Murphy. Man, I got so fired up last weekend. We don't get a lot of the movie channels, but last weekend, Starz had a special. And we had the Starz station. And we had Starz Western. And they had three straight Audie Murphy movies. And needless to say, Mary didn't like it, but we watched all three of them. Audie Murphy's got South Carolina connections. Audie Murphy was born in South Carolina, moved to Texas at a very young age. Most decorated American soldier in World War II. Maybe the most decorated soldier ever, but at least in World War II. And remember what Audie Murphy said? Hey, I wasn't doing anything special. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was trying to save my friends. I was trying to save my fellow soldiers. Ordinary becomes extraordinary. Young men, young women doing something extraordinary. What an opportunity for us. No, we can't compare it, but yet we can compare it. When we as a church and we as a congregation, because we're the church, when we choose to become committed and our ordinary becomes extraordinary, what service for Jesus Christ we're doing. What difference makers we can be. We're ordinary men and women, boys and girls, but with a total commitment to our Savior Jesus Christ, to a total commitment to our church, we can do extraordinary things. And the thing is, it wouldn't be that new because extraordinary things have been done at Main Street. They're being done. We just build on it. We just take it to another level. And now's the time. Now's the opportunity. No minister can do anything by themselves. If we think, well, you know, we're getting a new minister, he's going to take care. No, no, no. Terry couldn't do it all by himself. Jim couldn't do it all. Patty couldn't do it all. Takes all of us. Barrett Edelwine can't do it all. Can he, Fred? Can't do it. Great opportunity. Great opportunity. We're Main Street. We're Main Street. Let our involvement turn to commitment. Even C.J. Lupo couldn't do it all. Great ministry, great time at Main Street, great things going on, but commitment, involvement, everybody working together. When involvement becomes commitment, ordinary folks like you and I can do extraordinary things to serve God. No greater gift than this, that one person laid down his life for another. No greater gift than this, that Jesus Christ laid his life for us, and he says, do what you can for us. Commitment. It's easy to be involved. Tough to be committed, but that's what it takes. Because when we're committed, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your love. God, help us to get excited. Help us to do your will. Help us to pass it on to others as we live life each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.